everyone, it's Kat Kruger, your DM at D20 Dames. Since Halloween falls on an off week for us, consider this your spooky D20 Dames episode for then. But before we dive in, we wanted to remind you that we're fundraising for Extra Life this year. In partnership with Wizards of the Coast, we'll be running a live stream game at the headquarters for Dungeons & Dragons. We have a bunch of donation tiers available to help me or the players. You can even get a digital copy of the game that I write, or an exclusive werewolf-themed one that's only available through this event. Find all the info at bit.ly/extralifedames, then join us for the live stream on Saturday, November 3rd at 11 a.m. Pacific. For now, let's jump back into our current game where the dames find themselves in Halfway at the Cumbute Inn, still sorting things out after their encounter with agents of the Raven Queen. All right, so Riot, are you attempting to stay awake the whole time outside the door, or are you going to, like, sleep there and rest?
She's gonna sleep okay. A little bit, but she wants to... Yes, she will catnap.
Okay. So, just a refresher that if you were injured or used spell slots or key points... this is going to count as a long rest, so you'll be rested up in the morning.
Huzzah!
Rose, as you head to sleep, how are you feeling about what's happened so far?
Very uneasy. I'm remembering a little bit of what the hags told me about the Shadowfell, and that you get crossing overs from where there's kind of like thinness between the two planes, and I'm worried about why Bud has been taken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it just a random, we're just going to take this tree? Or are they actively trying to seek out Riot and I and took Bud because we befriended him? Like, is his disappearance effectively our fault? So guilt. There's a lot of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the guilt.
Yes.
All right, so you fall asleep with all of these concerns on your mind. Your brain is just racked with guilt. But eventually you're able to fall asleep, and a dream comes to you.
Uh-oh.
It's one that feels very real, and it's almost like it's an old memory, but it's also from such a strange location that it can't possibly have ever happened. You stand in a candy-colored forest, looking around in wonder, when the bud-filled hand of a treant sapling taps you on the shoulder. Your friend Bud smiles down at you sadly, and he hands you a cotton candy rose. A nearby copse of very young treant saplings giggles and coos. Rosebud! Just as you reach for the rose, it shrivels and evaporates into a shadowy swirl, and you find yourself in the crooked forest. Only the trees that have guided you on the right path time and time again are completely lifeless. Everything here is bleak, like the color has been leached from the florist. And as you try to find your way out, every tree you touch crumbles at your fingertips, until at last you reach the familiar clearing where Bud once stood. He's there again, but as a full-grown maple. It's like the guardian he never got to be. And he says, in his grown-up voice, "I guess this is goodbye."
No!
"But this ain't real, though, is it?" And you wake with a start, saying no.
No! Riot? Anyone?
Are you going to head down the hall?
Rose stumbles out of bed and kind of opens her door slowly. Riot, have you fallen asleep yet?
Yeah, until, I heard my name. Are you okay?
No. I just had a horrible dream. Oh, the forest was candy, and then it was dead, and then Bud was a full tree and was sad, and it was goodbye, but it wasn't. Oh, my head hurts.
So it might have been a vision?
Oh, I don't have those. I don't think.
I mean, I think we're all suspect to them, depending on where they come from. Right, it's like, here, let me do that thing you did to Lita with your human hands. And she, tries Cloth. To, massage her head on the side, but not, scrape her. just uses the palm of her hands kind of, mush around. Is that? Yeah. Ocean sounds. Babbling Brook.
ASMR Tiefling Edition.
You want to hear the sound of water being swallowed? I got you.
Actually, I should probably go to the outhouse first before you do that. Honestly, that helps. And Rose just throws her arms around Riot's shoulders and gives her a hug. I needed some kind of confirmation that this is real, this right here, and not that, and points to her head in a very sleepy, disconcerted way.
I mean, unless I'm not real too, right? I'm just kidding. No, really, it's fine. You're good.
You rarely see Rose give anybody death eyes.
That's how I know we're friends.
Yes, but you're getting sleepy death eyes right now.
Okay, it's good. Here, go. You go to the bathroom. Or the outhouse. I don't know what you're doing there. I'll watch you through this hallway window.
Thank you. That makes me feel both comforted and slightly awkward, but I'm just gonna continue down the stairs and head out.
Close the door. I mean, I'm just
watching. I will.
Okay. Make me feel weird.
Oh my goodness. So Rose, the rain is still coming down pretty hard, which
is definitely not helping her bladder.
So you sort of duck out there. It's out back. Mm-hmm. There's a little courtyard back there where the well and the trapdoor are. You do notice on your way to the outhouse that there's a pad and lock on the trapdoor.
Okay.
That Lita must have sealed up to prevent people from going through there.
That makes Rose feel good, because she had checked the lock on the front door, but hadn't checked the lock on the trap door.
So. Well, there wasn't one there before, and it's fairly recent.
Okay.
It's probably installed in the last couple of days.
The price tag still on it?
It's just a little bit of the sticker that never comes off when you try to peel it off those small things.
They have adhesives, but they don't have indoor plumbing. I feel halfway to civilization.
Because this is D&D.
No.
I need to light a torch in the outhouse to make sure there's nothing in the outhouse.
Ooh, gosh.
Okay. There are too many adventures I've ended with someone going to the outhouse and being eaten. And I want Rose to survive this.
Yes. So you head in there, you light your auto light your torch. And yeah, you don't see anything, but the rain every once in a while comes down in a way that rattles some of the boards above your head and sort of freaks you out a little.
Okay. She makes it quick and returns back to the inn.
Are you heading back up to bed?
Rose is gonna stop by the bar and pour herself a little bit of something just to take the edge off of the dream and then head back up because her buddy Riot's upstairs.
Yeah. All right, so you pour yourself a little drink and you head into your bedroom. And as you sort of shut the door behind you, you notice that your staff, the Nightmare Stone, is emitting like the darkness that it was emitting in the forest where you found it. And it slowly changes back to a regular stone.
Right?
Yes. Are you okay? Did everything come out all right? Is it that human time of the month? Oh my god. Are you okay? I hear like a... Are you crying? Right? Yes. I can see her, right? There's a light on.
Okay. Yes. No. No. I need you to come in here.
All right. Well, you don't have to invite me. I'm not a vampire. So, right, steps through the threshold gingerly at this point.
So you weren't in here while I was gone, were you?
No. That'd be rude.
Remember that...
And I'm learning. Sorry.
Remember that horrible, icky darkness that we experienced with that, as Rose points to the Nightmare Stone?
Oh, yeah, and the one that you, for some reason, put on top of your staff?
It was useful. It has proved useful.
In catching the sun and blinding me. But go on, I'd like to hear, did something just happen?
Yeah, I'm actually having regrets. It was just shining darkness. And then it dissipated when it saw me when I came back in. I don't know.
Well, you do light up a room, Rose.
Rose, like, quickly ducks and, like, looks under the bed, looks under the covers, like, kind of the thing you do when you have a kid that's scared something's under their bed. And, like, all the normal hiding places, the closet, the dark corner, like, she just does a quick pass of everything.
Riot pulls up the pillow and looks inside the pillowcase. You never know.
I'm never using a pillow again.
Do you want me to smash that stone? It seems like a waste, but also... Or we could rip it off the staff.
Let's put it back in my bag for now. So Rose goes over and pulls it off and puts it in her bag.
Okay. As you do so, you feel a sort of coldness on your hand for a second, mm-hmm. and it just sends like a chill right through your body, and you have a flash of an image of Bud in that forest again, and then you drop the stone into the bag and it disappears.
What is that doing here?
What is where?
Riot is pointing one accusatory black taloned finger at the dreamstone floating above Rose's staff.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think more likely that has been what has been partially blinding you, since that reflects light and the Nightmare Stone being
I don't
black
need an optics lessons,
light.
Rose. I feel like you're stalling right now.
I went back because I had one. Why not have the whole set? If Delcy really wanted them, I needed to get to them before. We needed to get to them before her.
good catch. We. All right.
Also,
I just
stones are cool.
You don't have to tell me stones are cool, but I just feel like we should probably get it checked out. You know, like a dwarven jeweler or something is probably, you know, make sure the magical properties aren't like zapping your energy or making you wake up your friends in the middle of the night. You know, like.
That's a fair concern. I did plan to ask some folks in Waterdeep. Sildar said that both Candlekeep and Blackstaff Tower might have people that were familiar with magical things. And okay. I could do some research there on my stones, and then also on the Dark Sisterhood and all the quest stuff, all the things that I'm trying to do while I'm out here.
Okay, I'm sorry for being so rude and wanting to know all your plans. You're allowed to have a personal life.
It's all right. I know all your plans to find your siblings, so it's only fair.
I'm an open 2-page book. Well, 4 pages. You have to have a signature. Anyway, we don't need to talk about how books are made.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is kosher for a player to ask, but what's a perception check on whether or not Riot can tell Rose is slightly sweating?
Oh, you mean my passive perception?
I don't know. I'll let the DM decide what that is. Oh, yeah, passive, because, yeah, you wouldn't be actively investigating if I was sweating. Yeah, unless you are.
Riot's got a 12 in passive perception, so she's like, is it hot in here? What's happening?
It's dark in here, so I think it would probably need to be a little bit higher.
Sure. I was also just out in the rain.
I have dark vision. Oh, you were in the rain, though.
Yeah. So I think she's kind of covered. I think if Riot had more of an understanding of had been exposed to a lot more
lies,
a lot more human like emotions and stuff, she might see that Rose is a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like so far your questions have been things I've been able to answer without actively lying.
Yeah.
We call that monk mastery, I believe. Hashtag.
Hashtag calm under pressure.
All right. So, Riot, are you done your questioning?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yes, I've done my stone questioning. I was like, she called me in here, but I know you're right. Can I go back to my spot, you know, make sure no one's hurting Lita now?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Good night.
Good night.
So, Rose, do you want to keep the 2 stones on the Staff of Adornment and just leave the Nightmare Stone tucked away?
For the night, I'm going to put the Nightmare Stone in the bag across the room, and I am going to bring my Staff of Adornment with my Dream Stone and my Luck Stone into bed.
And cuddle up next.
Cuddle up. Maybe nuzzle the Luck Stone a little bit. And try to fall asleep, but more likely just stare wide-eyed into the darkness of the room. And maybe I light a candle or 3.
All right. So, Riot, you head back down to the middle of the hall there outside of Lita's room. And we're going to go over to Loraya now. Mm-hmm. What was on your mind before you went to sleep?
Loraya was mostly focusing on just thinking through all the new information she's received from Rose and Riot and trying to work out who she thinks the Shadow Dancer may have been referring to as the person the Raven Queen's after.
Okay. So you also sort of head to bed with this sort of uneasy feeling. And in your dreams, you are a child wandering the streets of Waterdeep. And the City of Splendors is so aptly named, with all the fine wares on display down merchant streets, and people from all walks of life laughing and carousing. But the laughter dies down and turns to whispers behind bejeweled hands as you walk by. And merchants scowl, pulling back their most expensive inventory. And then you feel it. At first you think it's just a figment of your imagination, then maybe a light tapping on your shoulder. But when you turn around, a half-eaten apple hits you right in the sternum. Kids just a little older than you laugh, but there's no kindness to it. One of them, concerned, says, "Don't." Another replies, "It's not like we can hurt her." To which the first child says, "But she can hurt us." Then another apple flies at you. And another. and their voices taunt you. Lariah, Lariah, if she gets you, you'll die. And then you wake suddenly to the sound of your name. And it's Lita saying, Lariah, are you all right then?
Just a dream, you know how it is. It's nothing, I'm fine.
All right then. Well, it's getting on in the night. In the morning, I'd like to have a private chat with you if that's all right.
Of course. I really appreciate you coming to check on me. I'll talk to you in the morning.
All right then. And Lita heads back, and she had sort of slipped by Riot, as Riot had dozed off a little, and she slips back into the room. And at this point, Karen, what are you in the midst of, how long does it take you to meditate down there?
So she'll meditate for about 4 hours and then just kick around for a bit.
All right. You are meditating, and I need you to make a perception check.
10.
Okay. You're in the midst of meditating, and you are awakened, and you are completely stunned by what stands before you. He is there with a broad smile, and you instantly recognize his sharp nose, the brown-black hair streaked with white and gray, and a beard that goes sort of from gray to black at the bottom tip. His long, strong fingers curve around a staff that's topped with a bird skull with crystals growing out of the top. His eyes are like coals burning through you, and it is the wizened mage Zerker. What do you do?
Karen immediately stands up, pulls out her hand axe, and she's at the same time looking around for any other better weapon, and she raises her hand to strike him immediately, calls out, he's here!
Karen! Karen! His little voice tinkles. He holds up an open palm. What are you doing? Don't you remember the plan?
What?
The plan we set in motion, Karen, don't you remember?
she steps back with that laugh because I'm sure she's heard that laugh before and mm-hmm. is a little bit afraid. And she calls out for Riot. Riot, he's here. He's here.
She can't hear you, Karen. Only I can hear you.
I want Rose and Lariah to make a perception check.
18 for Rose.
9 for Lariah.
All right. So, Lariah, you're just like completely out, dead to the world. Lita is the same. Rose, however, you hear Karen shouting for a Riot.
It's because I didn't go to sleep. I'm just still staring at the corner with the bag. Yep. I'm still awake. So Rose bolts out of bed because really this night is just, sleep is not happening. She grabs her staff, throws open the door, and it's like, Riot? Karen?
So you see Riot. That Riot is not at her post. Let's go back downstairs for a second. Mm-hmm. What does the mage say to Karen? You hear the mage hears some movement upstairs.
Our time is not, it's quick. What are you planning to do with your sister?
I don't know what you're talking about or why you're here.
Are you going to help her, Karen?
Of course I'm going to help her.
Like you helped when I made her?
What?
How you kept her in a prison? Are you going to help her?
That wasn't me. That was you. You kept us there.
Oh, you were the first, Karen. You were the first.
And Rose comes down the stairs. And you see this mage going face to face with Karen, and Karen has her axe in her hand as the mage sort of laughs. And Riot is nowhere in sight.
The mage turns and sees Rose.
Get away from her.
Rose, it's fine. I was just trying to do something. And you see the wizard whisper, Wildwing and Fellow's Fate, take this face of those I hate. And the mage spreads his hands over his face, and his brown skin blends back into red. His dark gray and black streaked hair and beard shrivel to his face. His black eyes glow, replaced by familiar yellow ones, and black wings sprout out from Riot's form. Hey.
What are you doing?
Karen, are you okay? I'm sorry. That was mean and rude. Karen?
Are you kidding me?
I was just trying to see if you had another ulterior motive for being here.
What? You don't trust me now? You trust these people, but you trust this Lita, but you don't trust me, your sister?
We don't know what happened back at Daggerford in the tower. I was just checking.
I really, truly don't even know you anymore.
Well, can you put your weapons down? Come on, it's me.
It's you. Mage Zerker, I don't know who. How am I supposed to trust you now?
Because I can do this. And she tries to start doing the handshake, the sister handshake.
Yeah, Karen pulls away. She's not having it.
If we were in the same position, if we were reversed, you would have done the same thing.
Karen thinks about that and slowly puts her.
Mm-hmm. I just had to make sure. I love you. I'm very sorry. That was very. I didn't mean to laugh, but it was part of. It just came out. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
Rose like backs up slowly.
Yeah. Karen like peeks her head over like Riot's shoulder just to like make eye contact with Rose.
So wait, but were you convinced?
Okay, right, what you should understand is that, listen, he kept us trapped there for so long, and I never want to see him again, and I don't know where he is right now. And
Good. I shouldn't have done it. I'm worried about Lita. I'm worried about Rose. Lariah's cool, you know. I'm worried about you, and I wanted to make sure. You didn't have anything to do with all of us being thrown out of there and separated.
Of course not. I've been searching and look, and listen, I want to get to Daggerford to find the rest of our siblings, and I'm trying to help you.
I know now. I believe you. Do you forgive me?
Yeah. Don't do that again, okay?
Cool. So you were convinced? That was my first time doing the spell.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not do that again when other people are having nightmares.
Rose, you weren't okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, Rose. But it was pretty cool, right? Like, I mean, other than the fact it was terrifying, that's not the cool part.
Yeah, maybe ask me in the morning. I'm still trying to kind of recover, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't know you could do that.
I could use another shot. How about you?
Rose right, just kind of right. Stumbles past Riot and just like heads straight to the bar. Slumber party. Stayed up all night.
Can I have one too? I'm feeling really bad now. I mean, I had to know.
Yes, but give her the more painful alcohol.
Wait,
Do you mean like the most painful straw, like the one with the most splinters about to come out?
No, the one that when you shoot, it actually burns on the way down.
Well, don't forget, yeah, Ryan has like fire resistance. She has fire resistance, so.
Well, Rose forgets that, so she's okay.
Yeah. Give me that good bottom barrel stuff.
All right.
If shots are poured, Karen will kind of raise her glass and I actually to both Rose and Riot, because she does understand Riot, even though it's going to take a bit to recover. But she's also a little grateful to Rose because she jumped in and tried to help so quickly. Little bit of respect.
Rose raises a glass back. Maris might be fighting tears. It's okay.
I think this is a good time to have a short break, because you all wake up in the morning a little worse for the wear.
Some of us never went to sleep.
Mm-hmm. But you've all leveled up.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Beep, 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 beep.
All right, so do you want to talk about the cool things that you pick up in level 4?
Yes. Even though it wasn't, so kind of pre-level up, the Luck Stone did help me boost a couple stats. So that was a great end of level 3 gift from the kobolds. And for level 4, what I opted to do was, instead of taking the ability score increases, I chose a feat. And Rose now has Grappler as a feat, so a lot of the fighting that Rose has done thus far in season 1, not really yet in season 2, but she'd get into scrappy fights since she's up close and doing martial arts. There's a lot of times where she'll grab the opponent, and so hopefully this grapple feat will help actually give me a little bit more of a bonus hold to keep people pinned or in check.
Yeah, and this is something that Rose has basically been doing since the very first fight. You tried to grapple that little blight.
Yeah, that blight. I was like, is this a thing? This word feels like it's a D&D thing. I think I can do this. And now I can. Like all the things Rose tried to do in episode 1, eventually the rules allow me to legally do that.
It's going to make for some sexy fan art.
You have been grappled.
Was there anything else that you picked up?
That was actually the main thing. I think everything else was just like point increases.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, that was, for me, that was the main difference.
All right, Riot?
Well, Riot clearly picked up, she chose a feat as well, or I chose a feat, the Magic Initiate Bard Edition. So inside Riot's like investigative journal, she's actually got a bunch of like little tiny spells that she's been practicing and trying. And tonight was the first disguise self spell. And then she also has two new cantrips she can cast at any time. Dancing Lights, partially to help Rose, but also for the party nights. And then because she has a bit of a wicked tongue, she also picked up Vicious Mockery. So her insults will have her insults have extra barbs.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Are you surprised I didn't have it before?
Yeah. Yes.
It wasn't available, so I specifically was looking for that. And then, yeah, points went up. Hit points went up a bit. Thank goodness.
Yes.
And I'm excited to hear about Lariah, because we're all tired of those spells she uses every episode. Yep. Finally, something new.
I know. I feel like I have so many spells that I haven't used yet. It seems strange to just like explain the new ones.
Yeah, tell us the new ones.
But the new ones I got are Thorn Whip, which I'm really excited about, and Moonbeam, which I think will be awesome the first time I get to use it.
Nice.
I also got a feat, which mine is kind of a boring one. I just wanted some more dexterity, so it's just like a dexterity feat.
Excellent.
And I also leveled up my wild shape, which I haven't actually used yet, but I picked a bunch of new monsters that I'm ready to turn into at a moment's notice.
We are all so excited. Just can you not do any monster shape shifting while we're in nightmare mode? Please?
There was a moment while, like, the nightmares are being discussed, and I was like, and then Lorea turns into a giant snake. No, that'd be mean.
Not yet. So Maris forgot that Rose did actually gain one other bonus that was the standard fourth level monk increase. I gain a reaction. Rose gains a reaction that when I fall, I reduce falling damage.
Oh, that's perfect.
I don't know who wrote these. I mean, no, actually, that's a lie. I do know who wrote these books. But this is amazing. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, D&D team. Because now Rose has better luck. And she, when she falls, her damage will be less.
That's excellent. Yeah. Lariah, do you want to talk about what your spells actually do for listeners who don't know what those spells do?
Oh, sure. So the Thorn Whip is pretty straightforward. It's just a vine, like a viney whip that just does some damage.
It makes you look like Ivy from Soul Calibur. Yeah. Like you just slam it into the ground, it comes up and pokes someone else's butt. No.
Moonbeam just shines some moonlight down on someone and does some pretty serious damage as people move in and out of the beam of moonlight that I can move on each turn.
And it's radiant damage, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, radiant damage.
Appreciate that, Kat. I was like, what kind of damage does moon do? Weird. Cheese damage.
Yeah, I'm stoked on Moonbeam. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's been really great to, because all of you are using D&D Beyond, so it's really been helpful for me as a DM to get that information, like, really easily. So it's been awesome.
Also, in case we forgot, one of our Season 1 gifts and found it very easily in the items and then equipped it.
Such as?
Definitely not my bracers of archery that I forgot to add my points to last time. But anyway, Riot's also patting her pot of awakening.
Yes.
And just goes, one day, little buddy, this helm thorn's gonna bust out of here and kick everyone's butts.
Did you have to call it buddy? Tear.
One day, horny, you're gonna bust out of here and kick everyone's butts. No.
Cut.
All right. You're still. I think Riot is still. I think she's pretty close. She's. It was supposed to be 30 days. So we're getting there. But one thing I wanted to discuss while we've got this little break is so all of you received a very special surprise. It is from one of our sponsors, Campaign Coins, and it came all the way from Australia. So if you could get those out.
Ooh.
Do you see what they are?
Hold on. Are we opening it?
Oh, I haven't opened it yet. Can we
open them up?
Ooh. Ooh. These are heavy.
Oh.
So Campaign Coins very kindly gave us for use within the podcast.
Thank you, Campaign Coins.
An enamel pin for everybody, and some crits and fail coins, and we've also got these tokens, which now I know we haven't used inspiration in the game in Season 1.
But here it is, and we all get some right now.
But we have these lovely coins, and I was thinking that we could use them. We could use them for Damespiration.
Ooh!
Yeah.
So how this would work is, I'm thinking rather than my awarding it as DM. I think in the spirit of collaboration and D20 Dames, I want you each to award each other. So how that happens is you can reward another player for really good role playing, clever thinking, or simply doing something that's really exciting in a game. when another character does something like that that contributes to the story in a really fun or interesting way, you can give that character inspiration. I do have a caveat, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to put a time limit on how long the inspiration token lasts.
Okay.
I just feel like narratively, when I've played in D&D games and received inspiration, I was never really sure what to do with it myself. So I feel like if you get inspiration narratively, it seems like there's probably going to be a time limit when the inspiration just sort of flags, right?
Yeah.
So I would like you to, if you gain it during one story arc or adventure, it has to be used before that arc or adventure ends.
Beautiful. That's easy.
Okay.
And the other thing about inspiration, in case you don't know this already, is that you either have inspiration or you don't. You can't stockpile it.
Right. Mm. Well, I'm going to use it for some sick burns. Just like that one. Boy, I could use my Damespiration.
What can we use inspiration for? Or are there any?
Yeah, so using inspiration, if you have inspiration, when you make an attack roll, a saving throw, or an ability check, you can spend inspiration, and that will give you advantage on that roll. So yeah. In that case, like what Jen was saying is, you know, if you want to convince somebody you fail, you can use your inspiration and reroll.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And now I like the timer on it because, yeah, I've definitely played in games where it's like you receive a card, you tuck it in your notebook, you forget it's there until 6 months later.
Yeah, and then it's like, it feels weird using it 6 months later.
Well, yeah, you forget you have it, and then you get another one, even though they shouldn't stack. You're like, whoops, now I have this pile tucked in my notebook.
And that's why these coins are cool, because if you give these out for points of inspiration, it's like, you can't forget that you have it. Yeah.
We'll have
it's like
to,
a pretty substantial point of inspiration if you use a campaign coin.
We'll have to use a... I'll have to come up with something to put these in, like a little leather pouch, so maybe when we have it, it shows...
Like stocked up? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it shows the 20, and we don't have it. It shows through the window, like the 1 or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll figure it out. That'd be really cool.
Well, you can also put it on your D&D Beyond character sheet. There's a spot for inspiration.
I thought you were going to say we could just put it on our desk. And I was like, thank you, Kat.
Yeah, you can just click.
You can just leave it out for yourself like a human being.
You don't need to build a thing.
Yeah. I'm all like, I have animals. They're just going to push it around. And then I'll find it next to all my inspiration cards like 5 months later.
Listeners, it's Kat again. Good luck sleeping tonight. To distract you from nightmares, let's check in with some of the dames here and see what everyone is up to outside of the podcast.
Hey, it's Brittany. I have an interesting project I wanted to share with our listeners. A little while back, I went back to Boston, where I am from, and did some vocal recording for an album that my friend Paula Montaigne wrote. It's all music inspired by these like soundtracks of like 60s Italian kind of horror. It's like the Italian pulp movies. It's like harpsichords and out of tune pianos, and it's just this really interesting sound. It's actually perfect for kind of this season of like fall and Halloween. I didn't tell you what it's called at all. It's called Under a Black Rainbow. You can find it, I think we made a bit.ly/underrainbow, and you can find it there on Spotify. You can also just search it on Spotify. So take a listen and let me know what you think.
It's great. I've been listening to it nonstop. So.
Yeah, me too.
Don't trust yourself. Take our word for it.
And you can pretend it's Sildar.
Yeah. And hey, my name is Jen Vaughn, and on the day of this recording, my hardback collection of Goosebumps comics, Goosebumps Download and Die, will be out at all bookstores. So you may have already seen it at comic book stores, but now it's in all bookstores. From Scholastic and IDW, I wrote it. It's drawn by Michelle Wong, colors by Trina Tree Farrell. lettering by Krista Meisner and edited by the amazing Sarah Gatos. And it's a fun story about a group of girls just trying to finish a science fair project, but then one of their phones becomes haunted. And it's, I feel like the kind of hijinks we do here, it's similar in some ways. Friendship and jealousy and all that good stuff. So, yeah, get it for the young person in your life or the horror YA horror lover of any age.
Maris here. If you like Dungeons & Dragons, you can catch me as part of a live D&D stream with some of my fellow WotC co-workers. It's called Clerical Error. It airs on Wednesdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and it follows a group of folks in Waterdeep who are part of the Dung Sweepers Guild, and we are, thanks to a clerical error, we have a little bit of money, and we're trying to spin up a Parks and Rec green spaces department within the Dung Sweepers Guild in Waterdeep.
This is Jess. I'm still doing my GM thing over on Bitches and Liches if you want to hear some Blue Rose. And we also just started a new show on BTA Podcast. You can check out all of that fun stuff over on btapodcast.com. Jen, Kat, and I are all going to be in the Uncaged anthology, which Yay. I think the first volume is coming out in January.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, which is an anthology of some cool myth retellings. I'm saying this all wrong. a book of adventures that are retellings of myths. There we go. Nailed it.
Especially ones featuring female creatures and monsters.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Kat. If you do enjoy some of the writing on this show, you can find a bunch of my adventures on DM's Guild. I recently had an Adventurers League adventure go out on the DM's Guild. It's called Beneath the City of the Dead, and it's part of a trilogy that takes place in Waterdeep Dragon Heist. So if you're playing through that adventure right now, this can slide right into your adventure. And it's actually a gold bestseller as of this podcast recording. So yay.
yay. And keep your eyes to the skies for another announcement later today, or has already happened.
Surprise or not.
You already knew it. You're clairvoyant. Okay.
Remember, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find all our social media links at d20dames.com. And if you reach out, we might even give you a little shout out here. Anyway, that's it for now. Until next time, misadventure awaits.
This episode of D20 Dames is sponsored by Campaign Coins. As a producer, NPC, and earnest acoustician, I spend a lot of time removing the sound of the dames bumping their tables, sighing, or the sound of an impatient dog or cat. But you know what sound I will never remove? The sumptuous sound of campaign coins at the table. Listen to this. Wow, right? They sound amazing because they are real metal coins. And you can get your own audio box checked when you buy a set of D20 crit or fail coins, available in antique silver, copper, and gold. You can use them for coin flips to determine if you split the party or not. Maybe your DM can weave the coins into the narrative. Or if you're like me, you just like some sonorous sound waves. Visit campaigncoins.com to bring some authentic metal clinks, clanks, or clunks to your game or podcast. D20 Dames is powered by dndbeyond.com. Here at D20 Dames, we use D&D Beyond for our character sheets to make planning, playing, and leveling up super easy. And it's so nice to be able to have digital versions of things like Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes and the Player Handbook to quickly look up rules, spells, and other clarifications. You can even create monsters, items, and other homebrew content, and create campaigns to run your entire game. Try it out at dndbeyond.com.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/d20dames. Well, you can also put it on your D&D Beyond character sheet. there's a spot for inspiration.
I didn't realize that inspiration thing was there. Oh my gosh. It's staring right at me, empty.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be able to rewrite over it, though, and call it Damespiration now, though.
Yeah, right? And we should just, like, change the icon that comes out.
Yeah. If you want, if you have, like, a little black, I think it's called a Sharpay, you can just write on your computer screen.
In the same spot.
Yeah, and just write, yeah.
Don't scroll.
And that'll fix it always.
Yeah. Brittany, I like that you didn't know where that was going for a second.
I truly did it. Yep.
All right. Was she talking about the dog? What?
I know I was. Like, wait. Oh, man. Can you see my face? Do you have a camera?